Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Connell McShane joins us now, the host of News Nation Live with Connell McShane. What a coincidence. It's on at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You can watch him everywhere. Hi, Connell. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, John.
Okay. What should I know today about what happened in Minneapolis?
Man, it's been some week, hasn't it? You know, the protests continue, I know, near that federal building. The real back and forth, though, is how this shooting is going to be investigated, right? I mean, the big headline from yesterday, and this continues into today, we heard from some of the local officials again this morning upset about it, is that the FBI is taking over the investigation of the shooting of Renee Good by an ICE officer, and that there will seemingly not be cooperation with the local authorities who, you know, are obviously very upset about that. So where does the investigation go from here? Will there be a legit inquiry into what happened, and you know, whether it was in fact a justified shooting, that, you know, remains up in the air, I think. So that's where we stand.
Not that you want the tobacco companies to investigate if cigarettes are bad for you. That's maybe not a fair analogy, but it just seems to me like if this is a federal investigation of the FBI or a federal agency like ICE, then maybe you need something that's a little more independent. You would like to think that you don't need to do that when it's your own Justice Department, but I think the state has a legitimate claim. Tim Walz says that the state should be investigating this, and Kristi Noem says it's none of your business. This is a federal action, and it's a federal investigation. So that's where the rubber hits the road there, right?
Yeah, I think ideally you'd rather have, or at least to me, and in talking to some law enforcement experts about this on the show the last couple of days, this seems to be, you know, pretty much there seems to be agreement on this, that you'd like to have all hands on deck, right? You'd like to be able to gather all the information that you can and at least have a cooperative joint investigation, even if one side, even if the state doesn't take the lead, to your earlier point, because, you know, people could argue there might be biases on their side as well, that you'd just rather have all of your people working on it. And that's been the thing with this, is that, you know, as much as we've all seen video, we've all seen other angles. Now there was a new angle last night that's added to the mix, is that there is still information we don't know, and that we've all covered enough stories like this that even if we can look as a human being and draw a conclusion based on what we've seen so far, we know through experience that there might be something that we don't know. There might be something that was said. There might be some action that was taken. There might be, you know, a look that was given. I don't know. The point is, we don't know some information now, and that's why I think you want to have a real serious inquiry that involves, you know, everybody that has a stake in this and everybody that might be able to help with that investigation, because we want to get all the real information. And I believe there's some things out there that we still don't know.
Sure. But I think we've seen enough to at least come to our own conclusions about, was she turning away from him? Was she trying to run somebody over? And we'll make up our own private decisions about, was that shooting justified? But, right, as a matter of law, if you were going to make the case in court, you would want all of the vehicles to still be there so you could investigate. We know that the ICE agents drove off after that one woman was shot. We know more about her than I think we need to. What her personal life is like is just pejorative, the way it's being presented in some places. We know the name of the ICE agent that shot her, which is surprising to me because we know so little about those guys. But when the vice president says that the media is lying to you, and then there's the mayor of Minneapolis in an op-ed piece today saying the president is lying to you, I think you just have to look at the video yourself and decide. And I'm a little surprised, Connell, I'll let you respond after I finish this sentence, that so many people have such different opinions about it, because the wheels were turned away. She almost clipped that guy, or maybe did, but at a low speed. She wasn't, as Fox News said, barreling towards him. And she did not need to be shot. There was no purpose in that. What is your thought?
I think the differing opinions is as much as anything else a commentary on where we are in the country right now. That, you know, we're as divided as we've been, and because of that, you're going to have people rushing to judgment, quite frankly, and also jumping to conclusions and using their pre-existing biases to make determinations like we've never seen in the past. So I think that's really just a commentary on the country. My earlier point about more information, legal versus whether you want to say moral, right, wrong, you know, whatever you decide in your own mind, I think would be this. We had an attorney on our show yesterday, Dante Mills from here in New York, who we have on a lot, and he and I went through the video throughout the segment. And one of the things which I found interesting about his analysis of it was that on a personal level, he felt that the shooting of Renee Good was not justified. He didn't think it was justified, right? However, he does not believe as a lawyer that this officer will be charged with a crime. And he, when we slowed down the tape, he said that there, you know, because of how these things have been investigated in the past, could be a case this officer will make. And because of the immunity laws surrounding federal agents, it might be one that's accepted, that he had determined in his own mind and will be able to back that up in some way that his life was in danger, that he will be able to say he felt his life was in danger. And although Dante personally didn't believe that that was a reasonable determination, he could see how it would be legally. So again, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here that I think still has to be looked at, whereas we've had plenty of other people on the show throughout the week saying that it, you know, it was not, quote unquote, reasonable to determine that your life was in danger. So do we have every single fact before we can assess that? I don't know.
We had a pretty celebrated case in Chicago where a police officer was chasing a young man, turned out to be a 14-year-old boy. And when the boy turned and faced the officer, he thought he had a gun. The officer shot the young man dead. The young man was not armed. And it was a tragic thing. And our city was divided about the wisdom of the officer's choice. But I had a lot of sympathy for him because while in slow motion, it looked like the young man was raising his hands up as if to surrender, the officer thought, he's about to point a gun, I'm going to get shot. And I had a lot of sympathy for the officer in that case because it was a split-second decision. He didn't get to slow-mo it. Similarly, this federal agent in Minneapolis had to make a split-second decision. To me, the decision would have been jump out of the way. I mean, right. What good are you doing shooting this woman in the face? I just don't understand why he did that. Christy Noem says that it was to protect himself. I'm not exactly sure how that protects you. And it was to protect other people. I think that's just what they say in that case. I wish they could have offered a little more sympathy to the motive of the woman. Instead of calling her a domestic terrorist, why do they use that language, Connell?
I think it's irresponsible is the only thing I could say, especially because of the lack of information at the time we had. Most of us hadn't even seen the video that we've now become so familiar with. But to jump right out and use the term domestic terrorism, I think was getting way out ahead of their skis on this one. And that, you know, the problem or one of the issues with the current administration is once something is said, it's hardly ever taken back or put in context or apologized for. So that's just kind of the way of the world and, you know, make of it what you will. But I think that was clearly a mistake in characterization of all of this. So now they feel the need to kind of double down on all of this. I don't think it necessarily changes the rest of the conversation, that there still has to be a full investigation. And then, like I said, there are legal arguments that could be made, especially if there are more facts that we don't know, or there's more conversation or threats or some sort of.
But suppose we find out that she, I mean, it seems to me like if she was in some organized group that was blowing whistles, that doesn't mean you deserve to get shot in the face.
I
mean, I don't care what it is in her background, and a lot of it is just utterly irrelevant, but whatever it is in her background, at that moment, she's waving a vehicle through, even as another one of the federal vehicles has already passed by, and she is turning away from the scene. I got to tell you, I thought that your conversation with Mick Mulvaney was really interesting, the former acting chief of staff for the White House. Here's just a little clip of the conversation you had this week.
We could sit here and maybe you could have differences of opinion about the video, but to simply come out and say, oh yeah, we looked at it one time, it's domestic terrorism, let's move on. I'm not sure how that's good politics. Here's the question for me, Connell, from a purely political perspective. Is this the Kent State moment in the immigration battle? Is this, and for those of you who aren't old enough to remember, back in the 1970s during the Vietnam protests, exactly, it was generally perceived as sort of a turning point in the public perception of the war. Is that what this is? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah. I was big coming from Mick, I thought. We made a point of replaying it yesterday on the show and asking some other guests about it on the show to try to get perspective about the moment. And, you know, I think to Mick's final point is we don't know yet. I would argue that public perception against the president's enforcement of his immigration policy had already been turning, right? We see all that in the numbers that his early on in his administration, he did, you know, in closing up the border, for example, things like that, there was public support, generally speaking, for it. But as the enforcement has become more aggressive in all kinds of cities, your own included, and other places, and now Minneapolis, I think the public perception had already been turning. Does this turn it further? My guess is yes, but to Mick's point, we don't know. And I think a lot of it will be determined by how this investigation is carried out, and if people believe the validity and the results of that investigation.
You can watch Colin McShane on News Nation at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Comcast, DirecTV, Dish Network. He'll come to your house, chat with you for a little while, present the news in a meaningful and fair way. It's nice to talk to you, Connell. Thanks for your time. Have a real nice weekend.
You too, John.